Everybody feeling good today? Glad you came to church. I'm so thankful that you're here. I can't believe the Passion Play starts today. And again, if you've never seen that, you didn't make an effort to get there this year. And I want to just talk briefly about 2 weekends from now, which is Easter weekend. And I have a slide that should be up here, if we can put that slide up there. Come on, come on, come on. There it is. We have 6 services here. This is in 2 weekends. So next weekend we wrap up this series, and then the following weekend is Easter. And I want you to know that all 6 of these services are the same. So Friday night, the 2 on Saturday, and the 3 on Sunday morning. And we believe that most guests, you know, the church, actually we run about 10,000 every weekend here at Shepherd. This room seats 3,500 people. And so we have 3 services, normally 10,000. On that weekend, we'll have 20,000 people. So where do these 10,000 people come from? I don't know. But they will come to the 9 and to the 11 o'clock service. They come to the last 2 services. And we're asking as many of you as possible to move in 2 weeks and to either come Friday night or come to one of the 2 services on Saturday night. And I personally would love to have you come at 7 a.m. I know that sounds crazy, but I will be here, Lord willing. And it's a little discouraging because it's the smallest crowd, right? I mean, who wants to go to church at 7 a.m.? I mean, be serious about that. Who wants to do that? So you have a choice. You can either come to the 7 o'clock a.m. service or you can come to all 6. It's up to you. So you decide whichever one is easier. But we do want you to consider either moving to 7 and 2 weeks or coming to the Friday or the 2 on Saturday night. If you can do that, you would be helping free up some space for those who only come once a year. Okay. I want you to look at your bulletin and grab your sermon notes. We've been looking at a series called I Love LA, which is our theme for the year. And this series, again, leads us up to Easter. And if you've not been here, we've been looking at some of the icon. When you think of LA, you think of these things. And then we've been using those icons to springboard into spiritual truth, into our messages each week. We started talking about the beaches. That was the very first week, and we looked at the fact that God is a creative God, that He's a faithful God, and that God is a powerful God. And then we looked at Hollywood, and Hollywood exists to make people famous, and we exist to make Jesus famous. That was the gist of that sermon. And then I preached a message, probably my favorite message so far in the series. It's called Lessons in the Valley. And that if you're in a valley, it's just you've gone from one mountaintop and you're on your way to the next mountaintop. And that God has not forsaken you, that God will be with you through the valley of the shadow of death. Then we looked at Disneyland, and Pastor Jeff talked about how Disneyland claims to be the happiest place on earth. And we talked about joy and where joy, true joy, comes from. Last week, I spoke on the Dodgers. We used a baseball diamond to talk about first base was salvation, second base was the church, third base was Christian service, and home plate, of course, was heaven. It was a great week. We had a great week last weekend. And then Tuesday night, we had Dodger night, and we had close to 1,400 people who from the church. We all went to the Dodger game and sat up in the left field corner, and the Dodgers even won the game. The Dodgers won. It was shocking. It was shocking. But we just had a great time, and today I want to speak to you on the freeways of LA, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. The 405 freeway, and I have a video, is considered the busiest interstate in the United States of America. This film comes from this past Thanksgiving weekend, this last year. And if you remember at the beginning of the year when I announced this theme I love LA, I said these words to you. I said, if you don't love people, you don't want to live here in Los Angeles. And that's especially true on the LA freeways, amen? How many of you know the freeways are just always crowded? They're just crowded. On my Facebook page, I did a poll. I do that every once in a while. I do a sermon poll. And I said, fill in the blanks. The Los Angeles freeways are what? And I had all kinds of answers. Michelle Kilroy said they are nerve-wracking. Lynette Towns wrote, they are a lesson in patience. Kristen Johnson said they are a nightmare. Dana Montague said they are a necessary torture. How many of you feel that way? They're a necessary torture is what they are. Brian Waller said, it's the best parking lot in town. Comedian Nazareth said, it makes angry people mention God a lot. Julie Romero said they are a place to pray, hopefully with your eyes open. Wanilla Calzada Jr. wrote, and this is funny, he wrote, the freeways are where I get to listen to the whole Bible. That's a long time, brother. And my favorite was Jessica Gillian, who said, the reason they call it the 405 is because it takes 405 hours to get where you want to go. I always ask myself, who are all these people? And where are they all going? And why are they going when I want to go where I want to go? The crowded freeways reminds me of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 on the Sermon on the Mount, and I want you to write this down, where he mentions two roads. There are two roads. Everybody say two roads. And I want you to remember this because I'm going to come back to this thought at the very end of this message, that there are two roads and there are two gates. There are two sizes of groups. And of course, there are two destinies, two roads, two gates, two crowds, and two destinies. I want you to look at these words, and if you are a Christian for a long time, you're very familiar with these two verses. And if you're new to the faith, you will see there's a lot of truth to what Jesus is talking about, and these are his words. Jesus says in verse 13, Matthew chapter 7, enter, everybody say the word enter. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and there are many people that enter through it. That reminds me of the LA freeways. But then he says in verse 14, but small is that gate and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. And there's only a few people that even find that road. Two roads, one is narrow, one is wide. Two gates, one is narrow, one is wide. Two crowds, one crowd is few, one crowd is many. Two destinies, one is eternal life and one is eternal destruction. Now, in your notes, I want to look at some truths that are found in these two verses. Number one, that the Christian life begins with an initial decision. The Christian life begins with an initial decision. Jesus began that passage by saying, enter through the narrow gate. It's not a suggestion. It's what he wants you to do. We have five great lakes up there between the United States and Canada, and one of those five great lakes is called Lake Huron. And there's an old port city called Owen Sound. It's a great summer vacation destination, a variety of activities. They have these things called historic walking tours, and one of the walking tours is called Salvation Corners Route. And it features a tour where you walk down from the port, you walk to this intersection on 10th Street and 4th Avenue, We're at the intersection of 10th and 4th. On each of those four corners is a beautiful church building, and they call it Salvation Corners because of the church on every corner. Now, that is no small thing, because Owen Sound was once known as a corkscrew city. It was called the Little Chicago to the North. It had a reputation of vice and villainy for all the sailors who came to port. And so while on the corner of 10th and 4th, which was known as Salvation Corners, literally one block away on the corner of 10th and 3rd Avenue was called Damnation Corners, because there were four hotels of dubious reputation once dominated that intersection. Our text today suggests that there are two intersections or two avenues. One we will call Salvation Avenue. The other we will call Damnation Avenue. And each of those avenues, there's a gate that you have to walk through to enter down that avenue. And as you walk down that avenue, one leads to everlasting life and one leads to destruction. And I want you to understand that every single person in this room right now, you are living on one of those two roads. Every single one of you have entered one of those two gates. Christianity, if you've chosen the narrow road, it began with a decision. You had to make a choice. It's a determination that you had to enter one of those two gates, and you decided to enter that narrow gate. Now, I want you to write this down. God created us with this thing called free will. You get to choose. In other words, you are not a robot. God could have created each and every one of us as robots, where you did not have freedom to choose, and he created you that every day of your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that every moment of every day you would just simply walk on this planet and simply do whatever God asked you to do. But God did not create you that way. He could have programmed you, pre-programmed you as you do a robot or a computer, but God wanted to create us as humans with the ability to choose. And so every person here has free will, and you should thank God that he created you with the ability just to make decisions. And you get to choose. You get to choose whether or not you honor him or not. You get to choose whether or not you want to live for him. You get to choose whether or not you want to accept him or to reject him. You get to choose which road you'd like to travel. You get to choose which gate that you would like to walk through. And therefore, you get to choose your destiny. And make no mistake about it, the road to heaven, if that's what you desire, and just show of hands, how many of you would like to go to heaven? You'd like to go to heaven. Well, the only way you're ever going to get to that destination, and I want you to write this down, is you must walk through this one little narrow gate called Jesus. He's the only way you're going to get there. Jesus himself said these words in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me." And there's always people who think, well, Jesus isn't the only way to go to heaven. There's always people who think, there are many ways to get to heaven. And you will see as you stay with me through this sermon that that's not true. There aren't many ways to get to heaven. You will discover there are many ways to get to hell. But there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at John 14, verse 6 again. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me." In John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep." I had another friend that, 2 weeks ago that died while riding his bicycle. He had a collision with an automobile. And this past Monday, 6 days ago, was his funeral. And the church that his wife attended, because he didn't go, was packed. He had a lot of friends. And at the funeral, they said these words. They talked about how the fact that he loved life, that he loved cycling, that he loved golf, that he loved people, that he loved wine, that he loved helping those in need, that he gave a lot to charities. The problem is that none of those things save a person. And afterwards, I was talking to a mutual friend who said to me, you know, that guy, he was not a religious person. He didn't really have faith of any kind, but he sure was a good guy. And he did a lot of good things. And then he made this comment. He said, I am sure that God has made room for him up there in heaven. And I thought to myself, no, that's not how it works. The road to heaven is a narrow road. It's got a narrow gate, and that gate is Jesus Christ. And I know it's very difficult, and I know people think that this is narrow-minded. It is a narrow road, and it is a narrow gate. And I explain to people, if I was in charge, you know, I'd let everybody in. Wouldn't you? Yeah, well, you wouldn't let everybody in. I mean, the people that have done really, really bad things, you wouldn't let them in, but you'd let everybody else in. But the problem is you're not in charge. This is not your world and God's living in your world. It's God's world, and you happen to be living in his world. You know, I was thinking if I had $1 million and I said to you, hey, tomorrow, be here at the church, and you have to wear red shoes. If you have red shoes on, we're going to give $1 million to someone. And you show up with blue shoes. And I'd look at your blue shoes, you're out. Why? Because it's my rules. It's my game. I get to decide. I said red shoes. Okay, and you showed up in blue, you're not getting $1 million. You would understand that because it's my gig, it's my story. God, heaven belongs to God, and it's God's rules, and it's God's plan, and he's the creator God of the universe. And God is the one who said, hey, if you want to go to heaven, the only way you're getting up there is by having a relationship with my son, Jesus Christ. Well, then those are the rules. That's the only way you're getting in. The Bible says in Acts 4:12 that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And I'm sorry if that offends you in any way, shape, or form. But instead of arguing that point, you just need to understand that you need to have a relationship with God's Son, Jesus, who died on a cross in your place for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, the second point cannot be missed. The text speaks of an initial step, but it also speaks of the truth that the Christian life is much more than just making a one-time initial step. That the Christian life, this text speaks, write this down, of your life after the initial step. In other words, not only is the gate narrow, but the life you live after you enter through that narrow gate is sometimes difficult and can be lonely. Now, you can choose to live on the wide road. I'm going to illustrate to you this point in just a few moments that most people are on that wide road, and they're all headed in the wrong direction, but trust me, when I tell you that if you want to live on the narrow road, you must make that choice. You must make that decision. Now, when you look at a wide road, what makes it wide? And you can write this down. What makes the wide road wide is that it has many lanes. You know, the 405 freeway can have 4 lanes or 5 lanes. It can have a total of 10, 5 that way and 5 this way. And so what are some of the lanes on the wide road that leads to destruction? Write this down. One would be called the unbelieving lane. The unbelieving lane. I read an article this week that 1/4 of all Americans now say they have no faith of any kind. So if we have 400 million people in this country, that means we have 100 million people already walking or living on that one lane called the unbelieving lane. How is it possible that the United States of America, that was founded on godly principles, how can we now have 1/4 of our citizens, 100 million people claiming today to have no faith of any kind? Well, it's because we're becoming a secularized nation. We've taken God out of our schools. We used to teach God about God. Our children, we used to teach our children about God. We used to pray in school, in class. We used to have the Ten Commandments on the walls of the schools, but we've taken God out of those schools. You can't even mention God's name anymore in those schools. And so we're raised up a generation of kids that no longer believe or have faith in God. Many people are atheist or they're agnostic. We have a lot of what we call foxhole promise people. You say, what is a foxhole promise? Those are people who get themselves in a jam and say, God, if you help me get out of this situation, I will serve you. And they get out of that, God gets them out of that situation, they never serve God. We have people, you know, the Bible says in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we just have a lot of people who don't believe. They don't believe in Jesus. 1/4 of this country would be in this lane. The second lane, write this down, is the unconcerned lane. The unconcerned lane. These are people who might actually have a, think about how many people in the country are like this. These are people who actually have a faith, they have a belief in God, but they're just unconcerned about spiritual matters. They're too wrapped up in the physical matters. They're more concerned about making money. Do you know anyone who's more concerned about making money than honoring God? Do you know anyone who's more concerned about fame and popularity or their hobbies or perhaps their family? They're more concerned about pleasure. They're more concerned about work than they are God. There's a lot of people who have a head knowledge of God, but they're just unconcerned about honoring God. I want to read to you these verses in 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in this world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And then it says in verse 17 that the world and its desires will one day pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives what? Forever. My friend who passed away was a great guy, but he was simply unconcerned about the things of God. And so there are two roads. One is wide. There are many lanes. One lane is the unbelieving lane. One is the unconcerned lane. The third, write this down, would be the religious or the good works lane. These people might actually be active in church, but they're trusting in the wrong thing to save them. They are trusting in their good works, or they are trusting in their good looks. And you say, are you going to go to heaven? They'll say, yes, I took communion this last weekend. I went to Shepherd. I took communion. I must be saved. Taking communion is not going to save you. Well, I go to church every Christmas and every Easter. And there will be some people who will stand before Almighty God, and he'll say, why should I let you in? And they will say, because I went to Shepherd on Easter and on Christmas. Twice a year I go. You see, that's trusting in works. I volunteer, I attend, I serve, I'm nice to people, I pay my taxes on time. Listen, if you could get to heaven by being good or doing good, then Jesus died for nothing. Most people in this country believe that at the end of life, it's like a scale. If they've done more good things, then it doesn't have to be a lot. It just has to be just barely more good than bad. That God is just going to let them into heaven. That is called works salvation. And most religions teach that. Anytime you meet someone of a different faith, and just ask them this question, well, what does your faith teach? How do you get to go to heaven when you die? And they will explain to you that that faith, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what the faith is, they will explain to you, well, I get to go to heaven based on if I do these six things, or if I'm good, if I treat my neighbor nicely, that I will get to go to heaven. It's called work salvation. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, that all of our righteous acts, those are good acts, all of our righteous acts are nothing but filthy rags. That we all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins will one day sweep us away. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never get to heaven based on doing good works or good deeds. All of your good deeds, all piled up in a big pile, does not deserve all that heaven is worth. The only way that any of us will ever get to heaven is if we commit our life and surrender our life to Jesus Christ, the one who died on that cross for our sins. And the fourth lane, which is the most dangerous lane, is the lane of tomorrow, the not now lane. These are the people who know they need to accept Jesus Christ. These are people who know they need to follow Jesus Christ. These are the people who know that they need to walk through that narrow gate, and they are going to. They're just not going to do it today. They're going to do it. It's like someday out there in the future. I know I'm on the wide road. I know the life I'm living is leading me to a pathway of destruction. I know that I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to one day. I'm just not going to do it today. How many people do you know they need to get right with God? They're just not going to do it today. They're going to do it one day out there in the future. I actually preached this sermon last night, and a guy came up to me after church and said, that's me. I one day I'm going to do this. I'm just not going to do it today. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you know right now you're not living for God, but that one day you plan on it. If I ask you to raise your hand, you would be shocked by how many people would raise your hand in this room right here. And I will tell you that as a pastor of this church, there's nothing that breaks my heart more than knowing that there are people here today who are this close to giving their life to Jesus Christ. And yet in a few moments when we sing the invitation, they will turn and walk out of this building. The Bible says in James 4:14, while you don't even know what will happen tomorrow, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, and then your life just vanishes. It's a very dangerous lane. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't even know if today is your final day. You don't know this. So there's two roads. One's wide. It's got many lanes, unbelieving. Unconcerned, those who are trusting in works, those who are one day going to get their life right with God. And it's easy to get on that road because it seems like everyone else is traveling down that path. But ultimately, and you need to learn this, don't walk away without getting this truth, that ultimately that wide road leads to destruction, according to the Bible. Oh, that wide road might be fun. It might be pleasurable. It might be party central. It might be cool. It might be fun. But truthfully, if you are on the wrong road, then you are headed in the wrong direction and you're going to end up in the wrong destination. But on the other hand, the other road that leads to everlasting life, Jesus wants you to know that being a Christian, I just want to say this, it's not easy. It's not easy. If you choose to walk through the narrow gate and you choose to get off that wide road and give your life to Jesus Christ, Jesus just wants you to know it's not always going to be easy, but it does lead to everlasting life. Amen. Write this down. There's much loneliness on this narrow road. Unlike the broad road that leads to destruction. And write this down, if you will. There's only a few people living on this road. There's few people that can even find the road, let alone get on the road. And so, if you choose to give your life to Jesus Christ, and I hope that you do, Jesus said these words in verse 14, small is the what? Small is the gate, and that word small means small, and narrow the road. The Greek word narrow does not mean narrow. In the Greek, he says small is the gate, it means small, or narrow is the gate, it means small. But narrow, the word narrow means, it means difficult. It's a difficult road, it's a difficult life to live, but if you live it, in the end, you'll have everlasting life. There are going to be times where you seem like you're the only person in your class that's living for Jesus, and you might be. There's going to be times where you feel like you're the only person in the whole school living for Jesus, and you might be. There are times where you're going to feel that you're the only Christian in your family or where you work or in your circle of friends, and you might be. But I just want you to know that that's normal. Jesus said that if you walk down this road, there's very few people on that road. And so I say, just remember that Jesus was the one that told you it was going to be like that. If you're the only Christian in your class or the only Christian on your team, you keep standing for Jesus Christ. Don't let that feeling of loneliness discourage you. If you're the only believer in your family, or if you're the only family, you're the only Christian in your circle of friends, just remember that when Jesus died on the cross, that most of his friends had forsaken him and left him. That's the way of the Christian life. It can be a lonely because there are few people on that road, but write this down, it can be lonely because of all the foreseeable perils. When you walk through that gate, you're going to face unbelievable peer pressure to turn back. You're going to face loneliness. You're going to face temptations. You're going to face cultural currents. You're going to face persecution. Jesus, or the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, it's a fact that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There'll be those who have a desire to turn back to your old way of life. That's normal. But just remember, Jesus said it's narrow, it's difficult. There's pressure involved. Remember, though, that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, the Bible teaches that no matter what you go through as a Christian, that Jesus will always be with you. And just remember, number three, that eternal destiny is in the balance. Oh, you've got to get this and understand that one of these two roads leads to life and one of these two roads leads to destruction. A Columbia researcher came to the conclusion that the average person, we make about 70 decisions a day. That's about 25,000 decisions a year, and if you live to be 70, you've made about 2 million decisions over the course of your lifetime. But there's one decision that's most important. There's one decision that stands above all the others. And that decision is, what will you do with Jesus? In the Passion Play, you'll see Pilate who asked this question in Matthew chapter 27, verse 22, when Pilate says, what shall I do then with Jesus who's called the Christ? And the crowd, they all answered, to crucify him. Many of you today, here, right now, you're at a crossroads. You're at a crossroads. You're living on one of those four lanes, or you're living on that narrow road, but some of you, you've got to make a choice. You've got to make a decision here today. And the Bible says, and you'll never understand this verse better than you will right now, it says in Proverbs 16, verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You know, the most confusing freeway in the entire world is the 101 freeway. Have you ever been confused on the 101? Because you're either supposed to go 101 north or 101 south, but the road goes east-west. I lived here 32 years and I still get confused sometimes on the 101. Be honest, how many of you have ever been on the 101 and you were lost? You were lost, yeah. And if you're lucky, you have a GPS system or a Waze that says recalculating. Please make a U-turn. And today, many of you are on this wide road. You're an unbeliever. Or you believe in God, but you're just unconcerned about the things of God. Or you're trusting in your good works. Or maybe you know one day you're going to get right with God. It's just not today. And you're headed in the wrong direction. The Holy Spirit of God today, through His Word, is saying to you, recalculating, please make a U-turn. And turn your life over and walk through the narrow gate called Jesus, where Jesus in John 3, verse 3 said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I want you to write this down quickly. There is no third option. You have to decide today. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, when he speaks, it's very, very simple. A third grader could understand this. There are two trees. There's a good tree and a bad tree. There's no third tree. There are two houses. One house is built on rock. Another house is built on shifting sand. You live in one of those two houses. There's not a third house. There's two kinds of disciples. There's a good disciple and there's a bad disciple. There's two kinds of salt. There's good salt and there's bad salt. There's no third salt. And in this text, there's only two roads. There's a narrow road that leads to everlasting life and there's a broad road that leads to destruction. There is no third road. Jesus is saying you live on one of those two roads. And I say to you today, write this down, today is your day of destiny. Which road, which gate, which destiny do you choose? Let's stand and bow our heads for just a word of prayer. Father God, I pray that you would bless us as we contemplate today's message and consider which road we're on, and if today we're living in the wrong road and headed in the wrong direction, help us today to come today and turn our life over to you, we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to show you this one verse of scripture from Hebrews chapter 3 that says, today. Everybody say today. Today. Today, if you hear his what? His voice. Do not harden your heart. And the Bible says that if you're here today and you've heard the voice of God, you should not harden your heart, because if you say no today, the next time you hear his voice, your heart will become even more calloused. You know, the heart is a muscle. Did you know that? And it can become hardened physically. The walls of the heart, if you overdo it, it can actually become hardened. And I believe can lead to even having a heart attack, right? But it's true spiritually that sensitivity-wise, that your heart is sensitive to the voice of God, that as you hear that voice, that you need to respond. And today we simply want to sing this chorus to give anyone here a chance. You've been living in the wrong road, the wrong direction, and as I was preaching, God was speaking to your heart, and this is your chance to come and recalculate and get on this narrow path and walk through that narrow road, narrow gate, give your life to Jesus Christ. You can be baptized right now. Last night we had 15 people come forward and were baptized last night. And if you've never, ever, ever surrendered to Jesus, named his name, confessed his name, made him your Lord and Savior, you need to come today and get on that path. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. That's why you keep delaying. That's why some of you keep saying, not today, tomorrow. It's why a lot of people don't come. They just think it's going to be too difficult. and it will be difficult. But God will be with you, and we'll be here, and we will help you, and we'll get you plugged into a life group, an accountability group, and a ministry. And God will never, ever forsake you. And together, as you walk through that road, that difficult time, and continue to be faithful, God has promised you everlasting life. And that's the road you want to be on today.